In the first episode of the third season of The Rewriters Room, we jump right in and tackle some difficult questions that will guide us on our journey throughout the entirety of the season to come. Mostly, can you hold this gun real quick? But also, do you have Imperial stick-to-itiveness? Either way, you should definitely pull up a chair, have a seat, and yeah, they've assured us that the paint smell will go away in just a few weeks.
Sing all these songs with nobody listening, blah, 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 blah. Life's fucking pointless, so waste away, but waste it with someone you love. Pondering perplexities can poison your life, yet make life worth living, sort of. That's fucking pointless, so wither away, but wither with someone you love.
Hey everybody, my name is Graham Mendez.
And I'm Alex Mendez.
No, you're Alex Cruz. Try again.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Anyways, we're very excited to be starting the third season of The Rewriters Room, where we're going to rewrite Star Wars Episode 3 of Phantom Menace into Star Wars Episode... No, wait, not Phantom Menace. Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith, and we're going to turn it into Star Wars Episode 3 Any Other Title, because we're changing the whole movie.
It's all over, dude.
I can't imagine we have any listeners in our third season who haven't heard us before, so... You know what's going on. Y'all get it, right?
But on the off chance that one of you maniacs started in the third season of a progressive podcast, welcome.
Yeah, I guess. You know what? Check that last part. If you're new here, this is the Rewriters Room, where we take highly anticipated blockbuster flops and try to revive them into something worth watching and or listening to.
Yeah, be on the lookout for season 4, where we remake Peter Jackson's King Kong.
My wife has been bugging me the entire year and a half we've been making this podcast that the next movie we should rewrite is Short Circuit 2.
Oh, wow. Hell yeah, dude. You know what's crazy, though, is Short Circuit 2 has like a the Mujahideen side plot where there's we could get into some like weird Afghanistan politics and shit.
Yeah, I mean... It's so funny. You know how I talk about plants and payoffs all the time?
Yes.
For any listeners, again, for some weird reason, started in season 3 of this podcast.
First of all, welcome. But second of all, why?
Yeah, why? 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 Are you too cowardly to go listen to the previous episodes? The last
start
two seasons?
Start at the beginning, chicken shit.
Everybody else had to suffer just like we did. Go back and listen to them.
When I was your age, I walked 15 miles in the snow with no shoes.
But a plant and a payoff is in a movie where it's like they bring something up and then it gets used later. It's just like you mention it, it's there, you know, you notice it. And when it comes up later, it's very satisfying. Short Circuit and Short Circuit 2 are quite possibly the most plant and payoff packed movies I've ever seen. Which is why I think they're captivating when you watch them. Like, it's just like, they're one of those movies where it's on and you'll sit down and like kind of watch it at least. You know what I mean? Shawshank Redemption, where it's just like, Shawshank Redemption's great, but it's like, if it's on, it's just like, yeah, I'll sit around and watch a little Shawshank Redemption.
You know, we might be showing our ass as far as how old we are, though, because I feel like it's a bit of a stretch to compare something as ubiquitous as Shawshank to Short Circuit, but personally, from where you're coming from, I completely understand.
Yeah.
I just want the listener to know that.
I guess we're old, and when we were young, sometimes the only movie on was Shawshank Redemption at 3 p.m.
In terms of always being on, yes. But like,
I'm just saying it's an earworm. It's just an earworm for your eyes. Like, it gets in your brain and you're like, they mentioned that earlier.
I know.
It's like a puzzle. It's Candy Crush. It's a puzzle that's not really a puzzle.
I derailed your thought process, though. I apologize, man.
I was just rambling. We should move on to
I immediately started thinking about just in terms of ubiquity. Yeah, all of those films were just like Forrest Gump and Shawshank and the Friday the 13th where Jason goes to New York. And fucking Short Circuit were just always on, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of going on for too long about something unimportant, so there's some new things that we're going to try to experiment with to make this this season better than the other ones, which, you know, thinking about it now, might be why anybody who's listening to this season but not the other ones is listening to this season. Because I am making a commitment, and I am making a commitment on Alex's behalf that this season is going to be better, stronger, faster, and quite a bit hornier than the previous seasons.
We're gonna rage.
We're gonna rage, and all good rages start with a structure.
A change of management.
So I don't know if I'm gonna keep doing this other times in other episodes, but we're experimenting a tiny bit in this episode, and I'm gonna read y'all a list of topics that we're gonna try to cover in this episode. Alex, what do you think of that?
I think it's a great idea.
So in this episode, another thing that was kind of changing is to kind of make things move a little faster. And frankly, I think it'll allow us to ramble as much as we always have, but we'll get more done when we're actually doing things.
Yeah.
Is me and Alex are going to be kind of cultivating and kind of exploring these ideas together outside of the podcast, off of the air.
Yeah.
And coming to the episode with kind of mildly developed ideas that we're ready to kind of toss around.
Yeah, for the first time in this property, we're dipping our toes into something called pre-production. And my God, it seems like it might be a great idea.
Who would have thought? So here's our list of topics. Okay, so we wanted to talk about the tone of the movie. I know that we've talked about tone plenty of times before, and I feel like it's not important to us, but it's something that we would like in these kind of being their own individual movies, as opposed to just a like straight trilogy, is like changing the tone throughout the episode.
100%.
Every episode, or every Shrek movie is a Shrek movie. You know what I mean? We want to make a Star Wars backdrop with some nice fun, unique movies.
Absolutely. As I've said time and time again, as a refresher, if you look at the narrative arc of the original trilogy, it's ground to sky, back to ground, like a triangle. And I guess emotionally it would be like, you know, optimistic point, low point, resolution is another optimistic point. Our series is more of a optimistic point followed by two steep drops, which then catch the original Star Wars. So,
spoilers from our previous season for anybody who hasn't listened to them yet. The end of episode 2, The Darkness Speaks, is bleak as hell.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a complete downhill, and that's kind of going to continue. So.
Yeah, we're going to continue to thrash you for an entire other film.
But we're going to do it in a fun tone. We'll talk about just something, you know, I think we always talk about Batman.
Batman is a prominent element of this. Yeah, and Hannibal Lecter, too, somehow.
And Hannibal Lecter. Yeah, Hannibal Lecter. Those sorts of vibes. Another thing we wanted to talk about is deciding on the key characters, because we're going to kind of have to have a lot more moving parts in this one. And I
whittling
think removing
down our
some
cast.
Characters that are kind of ancillary will help with that a lot. You know, I think I'm like 100% sure we're going to keep, obviously, Obi-Wan and Padme.
Well, yeah, you know, and I think
we can get into it. We can get into it.
Absolutely. I'm so excited, bro. I don't think I can express to you how excited I am to actually do this show for the first time in, you know,
55
since I took
episodes.
That 40-pound shit.
Oh, God. So Alex used to be addicted to opium, and he had a 40-pound shit. So character development, we're not going to talk about character development in the sense of how it'll play out over this movie, but we want to know, like, over the time period between the end of the last movie and the beginning of this movie, how did the events of the last movie affect our characters coming into this movie?
Hell yeah.
Right. Okay. So, vibe check. I think we're just taking the pulse, right?
Yeah, man. But we're also going to I guess is the payoff in that being like in medias res, or is it like do we do like a slow intro into that? Just something to think about. Don't answer my question.
Just something to think about. Okay. And then so we're going to have a brain sharding section. And this section,
I'm loving this.
This section is going to be when we just like crap out ideas, good ideas, bad ideas, and then don't really decide if we like any of the ideas yet. And then we have kind of a pool later.
Hell yeah.
A pool of shit later to draw from. Pick the
We're gonna
kernels
drown
of truth
in a pool
out.
Of shit.
But the first brain sharding idea or brain sharding session, we're going to need to think of a better name than brain sharding, because we intend to put this on shirts. Brain sharding.
Brain shirts.
No, that's terrible. That'll fit in the brain sharding section. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And then after that, the second brain sharding session, or whatever we choose to call the session based on the previous brain sharding session, is we're going to kind of brain shard ideas for where the twins are planted, how we plant the twins. And we're not deciding anything. We're just going to throw out some ideas. I know we get creative sometimes, and sometimes we need to rein it in. Sometimes we can expand on that. And
that's right.
Again, just a pool of shit to pick the kernels out of.
I love it. Spoiler alert, it's called brain sharding.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be called brain sharding now. I think we just moved the brain sharding idea session up to the very beginning of the episode, and we can
Our
skip it later.
Our agenda got a little bit shorter now.
It just rearranged a bit. We got ahead of ourselves. Oh my God, that's
diving
hilarious.
Into a pool of ideas to pick the kernels, bro. We're
like
brain.
That episode of Futurama where they have a bet on who can get to a million followers, or they have to dive into a pool of two-headed goat shit vomit.
That's amazing.
All right, so let's move on. We're structured now. Tone. Let's talk about the tone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to list off what we talked about before. Darker,
yeah.
Suspenseful,
mm-hmm.
Personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are all great ways to describe it. I think that's kind of where the Batman comes in with the
it's
darker
true.
And more suspenseful.
It's true, because I also kind of feel the like Daniel Craig era of James Bond, in that it's like, this one's going to be dirty, man. I also feel,
yeah.
I don't know why, I think it's subconscious, but also the Robert Redford film Reds, for some reason Reds is like penetrating my mind.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what that is, but I get what you're saying. Just like a little more in the mud, on the ground.
Exactly, dude. It's a personal film. You know, there are humans, or well, you know, humanoid lives at stake.
I think you can just call them humans. I think they're just humans.
At this point, they're just humans. We've just had space apes hanging out with like Darth Mauls and shit for thousands
yeah, yeah.
of years.
Yeah, yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Sick.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Go us.
You know, I thought we'd talk about that more. Maybe we should find some way to pick it apart. Shit, I don't even know. Do you want to move on? I guess we do. I think we're on the same page with that one.
I want to get really like granular on that shit though. That's fun as hell.
Yeah.
Do the tone element.
What would be some examples? Let's both think of examples of what these tones, I guess, would have an effect on, like some scenes. Like just how scenes play out, I guess. So like the personal, for instance, like more time. I guess we didn't have a lot of talking in the last one. More time just talking, but like suspenseful talking. I could just combine two of the tones. Like,
hell yeah.
Like kind of hurried, like we need to think through this but fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
so
part of that is like, we're stressed out.
Yeah.
We're not sure about our future, not just the galaxies. Like, we have failed.
Hell yeah, dude.
We are dealing with the consequences just like everybody else, but also knowing that, like, it's not our fault, but it's kind of our fault.
yeah. So, like, I feel like there was a brief touch on that in our second script with, like, these are people living on the run, because they were sort of extrajudicial in our second film, but now it's like shoot on sight type of shit, because the Empire's here, right? Like, they're fucking here.
Yeah, they are. We now have like full-on Empire army. That's the people you just fucking shoot to shit.
yeah. So I think there's gonna, like, I think there was a larger scale to our last script. There was a lot more spaceships and laser fire. This one's going to be a lot of like, shit. I just had a moment in mind where, like an espionage, element of just like, we are, you know the scene in the first Matrix when he's like ducking through cubicles and shit?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Less of a tense soundtrack, but it's more like we're sneaking through offices to avoid Gestapo guys that are looking for us or some shit, you know, like.
Yeah.
Tense. Like, we're going to ramp.
Okay, so I guess here's something to consider that I just thought of that we should probably just throw down, although it doesn't quite fit into this, but like, should we talk about that though? Okay, I'm just going to say it. I was thinking about, like, is the Empire established in the Republic? Like, has the Republic fallen at the time this movie starts?
I think Alderaan becomes like a last bastion, and the fact that it gets blowed up immediately in the first Star Wars is like, I think Bail becomes a, and I'm brain sharding here, but Bail becomes like a revolutionary figure, and maybe this film centers on Alderaan.
Yeah, it's like an autonomous zone.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Yeah, interesting. All right, I just wanted to get that down.
Sure. I mean, as an idea, you know.
As an idea.
Yeah.
Going back to tone. I love the idea of it being like espionage, mystery, like just a thinky one. Like they tried last time, like Anakin royally fucked everybody trying to just run in and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And so we need to be a step further towards the Obi-Wan who crouches sneaking down hallways and never like what he chops a guy's hand off and it's just like that's it, it's over. There's no like getting into more shit. He tries a lot harder to not have to deal with shit because kind of, you know what I mean?
Okay, so then if we're talking about our again, one of our topics was where are our characters at, could this be a post General Kenobi Obi-Wan, and that he's now like mercenary level? So if he's gone from like Jedi Order to sort of like gray Jedi when he's traveling the galaxy in our second movie, and at this point he's like post General Kenobi, and now he's just sort of like, you give me some credits and I'll go fuck this guy up for you, or like, you know, like maybe he's just like kind of in a weird place, you know?
I don't know. I think that this, well, okay, what if he is General Kenobi in this time period, but he's been General Kenobi for 3 years and doesn't like it anymore, or something like that, like where he's having a struggle.
As I was saying what I was saying, I realized that I still wanted him to be conscripted, I guess. Like the idea of him having like Republic armor, I like the idea of him being almost a cog in some sense throughout most of this, but maybe in the like dissolving last moments of this rebellion's stand, like the first legs of the rebellion, you know, he's got to fucking pull back and like you live to fight another day kind of guy, where he decides at some point that he's not going to go down with the ship, and then maybe that sets off the race to like hide these kids.
Yeah, I get that. I like that. Like he served Bail.
Yeah.
In the military, like he'd do what a general would do, you know? Like I think we have an idea of what that is, and it's like a ton of responsibility. We don't have to see his responsibility,
right?
But we should see him like maybe he's crumbling a bit under the responsibility. Maybe he just doesn't like it. Maybe it's a combination of all of those things. Like we are setting up a character who maroons himself on a planet for 18 years to protect a child.
Yep. And I mean, we could honestly handle the first, you know, in our world, we could handle the first canon aspect of Obi-Wan struggling with alcoholism. Like, couldn't be that. It doesn't have to be that blatant, but he could just be haggard, you know, like he could be a Ulysses S. Grant who's just like,
a bit frazzled.
Yeah, fucked, man. Yeah.
Just like, Ulysses S. Grant is a great example where it's just like, he's good enough at his job. It's stressful as fuck. He wants this whole fucking thing to be over.
Yeah, dude.
Man, that's like the perfect example for like what we had been talking about for Obi-Wan. That's hilarious.
I think so, man, honestly. And then he becomes like, and then he's fractured enough to become that hermit who's like, I'm going to make sure this kid doesn't fall under any duress for his adolescence, you know, like as an adult.
Well, at the same time, Obi-Wan, like he couldn't have had a plan. You know, he showed up randomly to help him. Like, he just marooned himself, like, nearby enough. Like, he wasn't even...
Yep.
Does it even really imply that he'd been, like, watching him or anything? I really don't think it does. I really
Not just think all.
It's like, he's nearby. It's been 20 years. Nothing's happened. And then all of a sudden, something happened. So he's just like, how long was he planning on staying there?
Dude, if he was on, like, a... It just feel me right in your mind right now. But if he was on like a crash course, like his ship was on its last legs and he just happened to be near enough to the backwater planet of Tatooine. And so then he's suddenly marooned there with this child and the child's family. I mean, it's a little too fadey and happenstance, but like feel me, happens to land on Tatooine. Anakin's family happens to be there. And then he's like, hey, this is your nephew, Luke. Like, I'll be around, but he'll be fine. You know, it seems a little too clean, but something in that vein of just like, I'll be around. I don't know. He seemed like a known entity in the Mos Eisley Cantina. Like, nobody questioned him.
Yeah, he's like, small town. Everybody knows everybody. Doesn't mean they all know everybody's business.
But he had clearly gone in there prior to the moment of Star Wars and like had a drink or two. And just kind of hung around.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I gotcha. He was no stranger to the bar.
Yeah, he was as comfortable as Han Solo
it's a
was.
Hive of scum and villainy. Oh, hey, Ben. Hi, Terry.
Han, bro, I'm going to talk to you in a minute here.
Hell of a game last night, right?
Exactly, dude.
Oh, that's great.
he's like just the crazy old guy that drinks at Bennigan's.
Yeah. All- I mean, I used to go to a neighborhood bar, and it's like, you know, there's just like all kinds of people there, and there's always just some old dude in the corner just getting pissed. If you talk to him, he talks back.
Dude, there's a bar that I frequent, and there's a maniac there, and I won't name him because he's a maniac, but he's the type of guy that will like buy you a shot and then go like, dude, you want to see the guns in my trunk? And then he'll be like, and if you want, man, like $200, that one's yours today. Like, there's an element of that in Obi-Wan that's
I went to school with this dude and he drives up. We used to all smoke at this one corner and that's how I knew him. I knew him from there. And he drives up in his car and he's like, Graham, get in the car. And I was like, okay. So I get in the car and he's like, he starts driving off. He's like, open the glove box. And I open it and there is this like gigantic revolver, like a fucking like 45 revolver.
Yep.
And I'm just like, oh, cool. He's all really cool. And then he tells me this story about like some dude fucked him on a drug deal. And so he showed up at the dude's house and the dude pulled the revolver on him. And he was just like, I'm taking that now.
That's mine.
And then immediately came and picked me up. It's like, cool story, bro. I got class in 15 minutes. Can you drop me back off?
I always love how those maniacs are also like, dude, you want to hold it? And it's like, nah, dude, it's cool. I held it. I never once when they're like, bro, get your hands on this. I'm like, listen, dude.
I do like guns, though.
I am a huge fan, and I think we should arm the poor. But beyond that, like, if a friend of mine goes, hey, hold my gun for a minute, I'm like, well.
Be sure to get your fingers real up on the trigger.
Really rub on that trigger, bro.
Don't rub. No, just press. Press and then lift off. Obi-Wan characters. So I think we got our tone going, right? We kind of bleeded into some other things. Do you want to wrap up tone for now?
Yeah, let's get on that. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay. So we skipped ahead to character development, but I think we need to go back for a second and decide on our key characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is absolutely going to be Obi-Wan.
For sure.
We're benching
Yoda.
We're going to bench Yoda. We're not bench him. We're going to... He's going to play in a different game.
He's going to be resting.
Anakin, however, is in the penalty box.
he's been banned from a few games.
Yeah, but everybody still loves him because he's the hot shot. So he's the one where when he's in the penalty box, some girl flashes him on the other side of the glass.
Just to give him strength.
Just to give him strength. Okay, so this was going to be the movie where Bail was going to come in a lot more. He's the he's helping this resistance. He survives for another 20 years.
I feel like this is a prime time to establish a Bail-Tarkin dichotomy of like, you know, I feel like this movie is the time for Tarkin to truly shine to when we see him again in Star Wars, he's where he's at. Like, he needs to have accepted the role. The Empire came to him and said, like, we could destroy your entire fleet and you'd be just dead right now. Or come play for our side. And he's just the guy that's like Benny in The Mummy, who just continues to survive because he knows how to kiss ass. Like,
yeah. Yeah, where he does know how to get things done, yeah. But he also wants to make sure that he doesn't die ever.
Yeah, dude.
I love Benny.
I feel like there's a less comedic way to make Tarkin just sort of a rat, where he's like, hey, man, you guys are the boss now? That's great. I have amazing talent.
I mean, yeah, okay, so what I'm thinking of right now is Christoph Waltz's character in Inglourious Basterds, where at the end, when he realizes that the war isn't going the way of Germany, he's like, I'll fucking turn over so hard for an island.
Sick. Yeah. That's sick, dude.
Yeah. They were always in it for themselves, so they're not going to stop being in it for themselves.
Hell yeah, dude. And maybe Tarkin's request was like, you know, just keep me in charge of this fleet. Because we all work together and have. Beyond that, man, like, I'm your guy now. I'm your Grand Moff. I'm your Grand Moff, you know? Grand Moff could just be a title of, like you would an admiral or a commandant. But, like...
Is it an actual military thing? I know so many of their other ones are based on military, like, obviously, admiral and...
Well, yeah, because he was Grand Moff Tarkin, and I think
is Moff a like real life military term?
Maybe.
I don't know if it is. I'm trying to see real quick. I'll cut off this audio. No, I won't. I think it's just it's just Star Wars.
So it's the one time they came up with the designation.
Yeah. They're just like, all right, we got our captains and our admirals and our generals and our Moffs.
And they went, George, what did you say? And he went, it's
a moth. It's a moth. Like a moth. Like a moth. No, like a moth. Like a muff, but a moth.
It's like Miss Muffet's Tuffet, but it's a moth. Okay, George, whatever you say.
Okay, George. That should be the name of all three of the original prequels. Okay, George.
Whatever you want. I love the story. I assume it's apocryphal because who would ever actually say this out loud? But allegedly, Lucas said that he offered the prequels to other directors and the other directors said, no, George, this is your baby. There's nobody that can do this except for you. Like
that sounds like nobody wanted to do it. So they just told him like, no, this is your thing. Or they were just like, I would never fucking do that. And he was like, oh, it's my thing then.
George, you can't sit with us. And Spielberg and De Palma going like, no. And Coppola's like, fuck off, dude. Just throwing bags of shit at George Lucas.
All right, stepping back on path for a second.
Will Huff Tarkin is a Grand Moff.
Okay, Obi-Wan, Padme, and Bail.
Yep.
Do we need another, like, main character?
Well, you know, what about, like, the last surviving clone of their clone boys? You need, like, one more red shirt to blast.
Yeah, we could keep... Well, I wouldn't want him to be a red shirt if he's our main character, though. He could be our dies at the end, but I don't want him to just, like, get shot for plot reasons.
You're right. He's the dude that has, like, the nuke in hand, and he's like, what did I name him? You mean our clone?
Grenzo?
Yeah, Grenzo Chlorthos or some shit.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or was it? I don't know. I'll just put Grenzo. Yeah. We could do that, or I don't know how... Okay, so Akbar ends up very high as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he would certainly be very close in orbit to Bail and Obi-Wan, but maybe not necessarily in a key role.
Yeah, man, what if there was like a sea line of EB-12 and Akbar and they were like in some sort of an insane dogfight? Like that could be our one action set piece in an otherwise kind of grounded dramatic film, you know?
What if it's like, I've never actually seen the movie, but I'm going to reference it anyways, because this is what I assume it's going to be like Behind Enemy Lines, where they're trying to get Akbar, or maybe like, because that would add to the sneakiness, like they're trying to infiltrate the Empire, but this time they know what they're doing, because to be fair, they were kind of trying to do it last time, but they had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be repetitive or...
So let me...
Like,
foily. Let me throw this at you. And again, like I said, think of it as like a C plot. Our unseen, conclusion to Darth Maul results in Darth Maul on the Hound's Tooth, which is like his new ship, and he's hunting Akbar in EV-12, and that's like just something happening peripherally, you know?
Yeah.
Because you don't see Akbar again until like Empire.
Yeah. 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 He's just kind of, but he's clearly like an establishment in the rebellion.
There could be a through line where the Empire is like shoring up loose ends and they're like, oh, Akbar, he served us at one point. Where's he been at? And they're like, well.
If we had something like that, it could play into the discovery of Darth Vader. Like, if Maul is after Akbar and EV-12, maybe Darth Vader intersects with their C line before our A line.
Interesting. Okay. I'm thrilled by it. I don't know.
We don't need to go into it. I'm okay. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah. It's another brain chart.
It's a brain chart.
No, but this is already kind of sick, though, because it feels really twisted and like just it would provide a lot of opportunities for maybe Anakin to reveal himself as Vader and try to make like a final attempt at like, this is a clear path towards what we've always talked about. The Pax Romana thing, right? Where he's like indoctrinated at this point and he's just like, this is the only way that we can achieve the thing that we've always talked about. And he's maybe talking to Padme and Obi-Wan and telling them, like, this is it, dudes. Like, we fought it, but this is the only way. And they're just like, fuck you, Anakin. No, this can't happen.
Oh, my God.
That's how they would sound.
Of course, of course.
And that might be terrible. It might be, like, too arch, but it would be an interesting moment of just, like, fuck, it could even just play out in, like, monologue scenes of Vader just being like, I trusted you, and your path was useless to me. Like, this is the way. I don't know. There's got to be some element of just, like, sort of, like, festering rage. And something that turns the screw again. Like, the tension just has to keep ramping up, you know?
Yeah.
Cat and mouse shit.
Yeah. Or, like, I mean, how long could we get away with Vader and Obi-Wan interacting, trying to not fight each other?
Damn, dude, like Common and Keanu Reeves, and I think that was the second John Wick, where they're like talking to each other across the subway.
yeah, where it's just like, we can just go away, you know? Nobody's gonna know.
That might be kind of cool, though, man.
Yeah.
If they were constantly like, I think that even happens in the first Blade movie, where the like enemies are talking across a crowd of people.
You don't watch Game of Thrones, but there's an episode called Battle of the Bastards, where it's two like kind of younger dudes leading their armies, and they get to like, they meet up in the middle, and it's just like, we don't have to do this. Like, we can all get what we want and go away, just like, you know, bend the knee. And he's like, no. It's like, well, why don't you get off your horse and fight me fisticuff style? And he's like, well, you'd win if I did that, so I guess we're fighting.
Like, dude, that's kind of sick, man. That's kind of sick.
It's a really good episode. It's one of the episodes that really like makes it okay that they ruined it. No, it makes it worse that they ruined it. All right, moving on, getting back on topic. Let's go back another second. I want to talk a little bit more about the key characters. I'm not sold on Grenzo. I don't think Akbar should be with us all that long, because I don't want to split him up from EV-12.
Sure.
Right? I don't know. They're just like, that seems right? Like, they should be together, but I don't want to have both of them around. What do you think?
So are you saying that, like, we just see them again when we see them again? Like, they're just sort of doing rebel work?
Kinda, they
don't necessarily have to even be on screen, man. I mean,
yeah, I'm not saying they do. Yeah, it's something to consider of like, they could be around when we're looking later for characters to fill roles,
mm-hmm.
for ideas we have. Mm-hmm. These would be good characters. These are just like the established characters we have. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is, let's not invent a bunch of new characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the original prequels, where it's like, oh, Maul's the bad guy. It's like, oh, no, he's dead. Dooku, oh, no, he's dead.
Here's this lizard android that you've never seen before.
Oh, look, he's dead.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And I think that's part of the reason why we salvaged Maul for as long as we did, is you don't need a villain of the week for a trilogy. Like,
yeah,
you just carry through. So if Maul were a
like
less
Sauron
prominent
and shit, like, I don't even like Lord of the Rings, but it's just like, it's not a monster. Like, they have they have villains in each one, but at the end of the day, I guess Sauron would be more of a Palpatine in
it
this situation.
It serves a hierarchy. It's never like, oh, we just have this rotating cast of bad guys. It's like, Well,
yes, yes.
You killed the general, and then you killed the colonel, and now you're facing the emperor, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a cool way of looking at it. Just like you got to climb the ladder.
Yeah, it's like OG Mortal Kombat. It's a tower series. You're just rising up to the boss.
Yes, yes, yes. Who else could we have, though? Okay, so who are some characters that we have? I really think...
I think an EB-12 Akbar send-up is sick, because the fact that we've like weaponized Akbar, who was otherwise just like a fat dude in a chair.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's dope that he's become a focal point. I think it's also interesting to have Maul just being sort of like a nuisance in the way that Boba Fett was originally just a nuisance.
Yeah.
That's awesome as well. But then I think as far as your core cast, it's Obi-Wan and it's Padme. And I think Bail, to a certain extent, although because he is a higher up, like an officer, he wouldn't be moving around a lot. He would be coordinating.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But we could pull him out of that. Like, okay. That could be like he's coming into this with what he's learned as like the leader of a galactic rebellion. Ooh. And then forced into a situation where it's just like, we're on the fucking ground, dude. Has Bail ever been in a ground, like in a fight?
Dude, okay.
Like, what are we even like? Okay. We don't know.
What if, and tell me if you're getting hard on this right now, but what if a lot of this movie was like a Black Hawk Down scenario where they were transporting Bail?
That's what I just said. I said that earlier, even though I haven't seen the movie.
But still, yeah, no, yeah.
I said behind enemy lines. I meant to say Black Hawk Down.
But, okay, so I'm condensing your initial thought, or at least now it's making sense to me. But like,
no, go for it. Go
that
for
would
it.
Be a very fascinating kind of movie if it was in a video game where you have to protect the bag holder kind of thing, where it's like, I think if we had a ticking clock element, and it would be like protecting a fucking general in a war or some shit, dude. Like, that could be kind of down and dirty, filthy Star Wars in a way that Rogue One kind of wanted to be, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just had another thought, and we can move on without thinking about it too much. If we didn't reveal that the twins were Anakin's in this movie. Like, if you were watching these movies without knowing, I feel like the reveal later of, like, these are actually Anakin's kids would be like, oh, that does make sense. They were hiding it. Of course it was a dangerous situation.
That's very interesting, because we could play way looser with the Padme-Anakin love triangle kind of vibe, to where it's, like, furtive glances and, oh, we shouldn't, and then never expand on it. And then when it becomes clear that Vader is Anakin and these kids are Vader's kids, it's like, oh, dude, what a fucking nice little package that is. Because you infer infidelity and like some kind of, but it's never affirmed through the first trilogy. That's pretty sick, dude. And it's kind of what I always wanted, though, because it negates the love triangle aspect, which is trite. And it just sort of confirms what we all know through having seen the first three movies before the actual first three, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, that's sexy, though. Like, they should still be into each other, but it never has to be official, you know?
I wonder if we could play that into why the fuck they're just called Skywalker on the planet, like.
Maybe.
Like, maybe the twins were in danger from the Emperor because they were Bail's kids, not Anakin's kids.
Whoa.
He thought they were Bail's kids. I think
that's
that would
whole twisty turvy, though, dude. That becomes like a double helix of deception, dude. It's kind of sexy, though, dude.
I'm gonna write that down.
That's a brain chart.
That's a brain chart. That's a brain chart. Maybe something to convalesce on.
Yeah, but there's something really seductive about, like, well, they can't find these kids. I was also toying while you were speaking with the idea of, if we go another assassination attempt route, Bail could die in this movie, because you never, like, all you end up seeing is Alderaan getting blown up. So there's no telling if Bail is alive. All Leia said is that she remembers her mother. So if Bail is being hunted down and ends up dying, then it's like, he's gone. And then you could legitimately have a moment of, like, Padme just being like, kids are special, and I'll probably never see you again, you know, and then they get whisked away. I mean, honestly, though, if you consider it as being six movies, and the only point at which you realize that, like, So Vader reveals himself to be Luke's father, and then by proxy you find out that Leia is his twin sister. It's like, that shit is so much more fulfilling if we don't even touch it in these movies, dude. Like,
here's the only thing.
Go ahead.
Is, I like it. I like that. I want to explore that more later. Mm-hmm. I worry that it would easily get tied up into a convoluted knot just to serve the purpose of hiding something.
Sure.
I feel like just something to keep in mind. Like, right now, I can't think of a way where it doesn't feel to me like it's trying too hard to be secretive, which I feel like is a weird vibe for a movie to have.
The only element that I think we should take down, at least to observe later, is that Skywalker is a dead name because Vader is Vader now and Padme is dead. And Skywalker is a safe bet because nobody else, like everybody that should be associated with it, doesn't own it. And that pays off with Vader being like, oh fuck, there's a moment in the original trilogy that makes Skywalker irrelevant because it's like, I don't know, I can't think of it right now, but there's a moment where even in the original trilogy, he's like, I'll never get it back.
Okay. The name thing is, I feel like thinking about it now in the context of trying to figure out why that would be done in the first place, like why that would happen. Obviously, George Lucas just wrote the movie and didn't have a plan, fine.
You're right.
I think
it
worked out fine in the original trilogy. Like, that's great. But
no, you're right, though. It's
splitting
hairs.
Even in those movies, it's a little confusing. Not even trying to like add it to another earlier movie, but just like, wait, so he was just Skywalker. So like he heard Skywalker and was like, oh shit, that's my kid. Like,
let's operate from the perspective of that just being a thing. You're right. That's like trying to break down force powers or lightsabers, dude. There's no payoff in fixating on that.
It's just something we have to accept about the original trilogies.
Fuck
that's
yeah.
like really not going to make sense. Maybe we don't even bring it up.
See, and I'm cool with that, though, because then the narrative becomes much more simple. Vader is aware that he has children and he wants them. Not to kill them, but because they would perpetuate the dark teachings of the Emperor that he's... become indoctrinated to, like,
yeah,
he doesn't want to kill Luke and Leia. He wants to add them to the cabal
for sure. He wants his family.
Yeah, dude.
He had his family taken away from him.
Yeah, dude.
Without even knowing it.
Yeah,
and then it's like,
dude,
I want my kids. I'm here. I'm the fucking secondhand man to a fucking galactic empire. We're spreading peace around the galaxy. My kids should be here with me.
That's the fucking. That's the motivation, dude. That's like humanizing Grendel, dude. You get this, like, Vader's fighting us. He's fighting child custody laws, but it's like, it's not like men's rights creepy. It's just like,
it's just a complicated divorce.
Yeah. He's just like, I want to see my fucking kids. And then the counter argument is like, well, you're the hound dog of a fucking fascist. And it's like,
oh shit. Yeah. Okay, so characters. Padme. We gotta talk about Padme and how she's changed. Let's see. What happened to Padme? She lost her lover, who she mm-hmm. knew was always going to have to kind of be less a part of her life soon.
Yes.
She's what? She's living back with Bale. At this point, me and Alex had talked about it off air, but we'll talk about it more later. Now's not really the time for that, but maybe she has a couple of toddlers running around. Not quite, like, not very old, not old enough to remember anything particularly. And to be fair, I don't really remember anything before I was 6. So I think we have a little bit of leeway.
I started forming memories at like 4 and 5. So
if we traumatize them, they'll probably not remember any of the shit that happens.
Yeah, but if we also factor in the parenting as being like two politicians, we're talking about a lot of like housekeepers and nannies. We're talking
about
very
true. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What if they don't remember because they just never saw them?
That's what
I'm
thinking, man.
They were off fighting a war. Yeah. That's interesting.
You have a general, and what I feel like we've decided Padme would be a tactician, so she wouldn't be in the field. Yeah. Getting her midriff exposed by like an alien, but she would be like calling the shots from up on a giant spaceship, you know, in a way that like maybe General Haldo from the sequels should have been. Like Padme would.
I don't know the sequels enough to know who you're talking about.
Okay, all right. So Laura Dern's character is like a badass female general.
I recognize Laura Dern's character. I can I know who she is based on that, just not whatever name you share.
Sure. So try to reconceptualize that character as like Padme, where she's like up in the shit, but she's like leading troops, and that's kind of fucking dope, dude. Like she's badass. I think from the get-go, she's like the safe cracker in a heist film. Like she is super useful.
Does she need a title? Does she get to be a general?
Why don't we make fucking Padme?
Leia's a general.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. General Amidala, dude. That's fucking sick, man.
I like the idea of toying with the idea of like absentee parents.
Mm-hmm.
But you also sympathize with them because it's just like, I mean, shit, we could have like, fuck, I just had an idea. This is going to go in the brainstorming idea. What if nobody fully believed what they saw on Cybertron? Like, what if they get back and they're like, we know there's an empirical threat now. Yeah, but a bunch of Star Destroyers exploded out of a planet full of clones. Come on, guys.
Sure.
Maybe. In a similar way to just that, like, ugh, that Jedi shit. Okay.
I mean, it would be the same kind of skepticism that you get with, like, when you hear about the response that there were German submarines and, like, the Hudson River, you know, like,
yeah,
when you hear that, you go like, oh, that makes my skin crawl. But it's like, yeah, that's how close the war was to your door. They just didn't do anything, dude. Like, that might be a fun kind of element to play up on.
Okay, so what is she like now? Who was she before? She was like clever. She was a bit untrusting, maybe not untrusting, but skeptical. So that could be a quality, like how I guess Obi-Wan's quality was kind of turned on its head. His, like, arrogance turned into just, like, utter hermitage, you know what I mean? Like, complete austerity, as opposed to his, like, I want everybody to look at me. Look at how fucking cool I am. I want to help everybody, down to just, like, nobody look at me. Like, nobody know who I am.
Yeah,
so in a similar
man.
Way, like, I guess Padme, I guess it's not quite in a similar way, where she's skeptical and just, like, skeptical could turn to cynical.
I've always looked at her trajectory more as like a Hermione in Harry Potter, and that she's like,
so she just ages like fine wine.
Well, she just goes from being a nerd to being like an indispensable asset, you know? Like,
what would that do to her though? Indispensable asset, how would she react to that? I guess we kind of implied that she would react by completely throwing herself into her work.
Yeah.
Or she could be a super dope mother.
Yeah. So the absentee parent thing kind of sucks because there has to be a traumatic split where Luke is spirited away prior to Leia being taken from her mother, because that line of her saying, I remember my mother and she was always sad, is like, she was there longer than Luke was. Like, they clearly got rid of Luke before they got rid of Leia.
What if, just another brain shart, what if the reason they're separated wasn't intentional by our heroes?
Okay.
What if it was something more along the lines of, like, they had gone to do other things for some reason when it suddenly became imperative that they go into hiding.
Okay.
Like Padme or Leia's still on Alderaan with Padme.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Alderaan is a safe space, but all of a sudden the rest of space is no longer safe for a Skywalker child.
Okay.
So they have to just GTFO on their way to his ballet class.
Okay. You know? Okay. Okay. And so then the rest of the mission becomes like picking up Luke then. So if Padme
goes,
Luke
would be there.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I guess that wouldn't make no, because General Obi-Wan wouldn't be ferrying around a toddler.
That's what I'm saying though. But if it becomes a rescue mission where it's like, listen, Padme has disappeared with Leia.
Yeah.
But Luke is still out there in the ether, like susceptible to harm.
Yeah, or so if Bail dies, it could be like Bail was out. Bail had Luke with him.
How do we do? Okay, feel me on this, right? Brain shart time.
Brain shart.
How do we do a second act reveal of Obi-Wan where it's like we follow this royal family and the war, and then at some point it becomes like Man on Fire where they have to get Luke back. And Bail goes like, I think I know a dude. And then they call up Obi-Wan and they're like, look, bro, our kid's in the middle of some shit. And then he becomes like Zatoichi fucking samurai dude getting the baby back. Because then we have that lone wolf and cub kind of vibe where it's a man and a baby.
I do like the lone wolf and cub kind of vibe.
I think it's great, dude. I think it's very great.
Shit. Like Ice Age. I guess
sure.
He had a friend
yeah,
with him.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah,
he
sure.
had a friend with him, but... I love that movie.
But still, we're talking about any kind of, I mean, even like, I think Land Before Time covers like children getting back to their parents kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that's the plot to that movie, Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
and this would just be Obi-Wan getting Luke back to safety.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And what a different film that is. Think about like, we only have one man that can help us. Our son is in danger. And it's like fucking Obi-Wan lone wolfing with baby Luke Skywalker. And then, you know, 18, 19 years later, he's like, you're going to have to kill your dad, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's hilarious. Do you want to go? Well, we already did the brain sharding for ideas about what to call brain sharding segment
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Yeah,
so we'll
yeah.
move on
mm-hmm.
to brain sharding ideas for where they might end up. I guess more like, I guess that's kind of what we were talking about. Just like, how do they end up on Tatooine?
So here are my ideas, right? Bail dies in film, which means that Padme dies on planet when they blow up Alderaan. I think it's an interesting inversion that she makes it all the way to Star Wars. And then her death is part of those million voices, you know?
But would that make sense? Because,
well, yeah, I mean, she remembers
with what Leia says.
Ah, you're right. It might be too old.
It would be too old, I think. I think she'd have to die in the war.
You're right, you're right. Because she wouldn't remember her mother. So maybe Padme goes down on a big ship. Maybe there's a point where the intel ship is compromised by the Empire. And Padme's definitely on that ship. And maybe that's our, like, First Lady and Independence Day moment, you know? Where it's like it's
I don't
not...
remember.
So Bill Pullman is, like, the hero guy because he's the man. But his wife dies in that movie and it becomes a motivating factor, which I hate. That's like a very misogynistic narrative trope. But like, if Padme went down with the big information ship and then Bail died in combat, that's like a decent way to wipe out that nuclear family that you had at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, if we're going to have Bail die, I don't know if I mentioned this a minute ago. I might have trailed off. Like, if Bail was with Luke,
mm-hmm.
did I mention that? And then, like, something happens and Bail dies, but Obi-Wan gets there to take Luke. And they realize, like,
okay.
they need to GTFO.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think what it comes down to is either when Leia gets captured in Star Wars, she either hasn't been home in a while, or she was recently on Alderaan before being captured. You know, like, either the people that die when they blow that planet up are distant relatives, or, like, one of her parents was on that planet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I still think it's funny how quickly she gets over it, though.
Well, she's got to carry her message on, you know?
She does.
She's a
warrior. She is on a mission.
I think that's one of those more, like, grounding elements for how Star Wars has failed female characters from the original trilogy is, like, she truly was a warrior princess in, like, a Wonder Woman vein where it was like, well, my family's all gone, but still the message lives inside of me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Warrior princess is, like, spot on.
Hell yeah, dude.
She's there to... She is going to sacrifice her life.
Yeah.
If it means helping the cause or under threat of betraying the cause. She is fully willing to die.
She's like the one and only victim of the Empire that gets stunned. Everybody, and she
yeah.
even like shoots stormtroopers and they still take her alive, you know? Like,
yeah.
She was going to go down swinging and she continues to. Like, even on Endor, she's like, guns blazing princess, dude. She's sick.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's the one half the time where it's just like, come on!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The trash compactor scene is because she's like, you fucking idiots can't shoot.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
She literally just says, like, what does she say? She's just like, well, somebody's gotta save our skin.
Yeah.
Somebody's gotta
yeah.
save our skins. Hell yeah. And then she does. That's the great thing about it, is she's just like, well, shit, I guess. And
yeah.
then does the thing.
Yeah, and I think
I feel like I could see that in a lot of movies where they'd be like, well, somebody's got to do it, and then they fail at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you see that in your head where it's just like nerfing female characters like that?
And if anything, she bought them more time because then the compactor like turns on, but still, like, their alternative was getting shot in that hallway, you know? Like,
or captured and tortured.
Yeah. She created an out where otherwise they would be like, oh, you got us deeper in this bucket of syrup. Princess Leia, I will go on record as saying swashbuckly.
All right, expect maybe some shirts with OG swashbuckler. And
we got that OG Leia. Yeah, dude, a Carrie Fisher OG swashbuckler.
Yeah.
Dog, that's how we get on the map, man.
Hell yeah.
Start screen printing.
My sister has been pestering me incessantly about a shirt. She wants a shirt for our podcast, so I think I might have to make one.
I think OG Swashbuckler is the best way to introduce people to Rewrite.
You know what, too, though? I'll just say this right now. If anybody's got any ideas for some shirts they'd like, if I like one of those ideas, I'll send you the shirt. I'll make the shirt, and you can get one for free, and then I'll sell those shirts.
If you give us a 1-star rating with your comment being the description of the shirt, and we like it, you'll get a shirt.
You'll get a shirt.
But you have to give us a 1-star rating, you fuckers.
But you have to give us a 1-star rating. We keep getting more 5-star ratings on iTunes, and it's like every time I'm like, oh, we got a new rating. It's like, fuck, it's 5 stars. These people don't respect us.
Although, cut this out, but it is kind of charming that people might think that we're interesting, right? I mean, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, like where they think we're fun and they know that we're joking when we say we want 1 star, so they give us 5 stars because they know that that will actually benefit our podcast. I guess that's nice.
Well, no, that's torture. I just think that like people actually interacting with us is exciting, dude. I want that 1-star rating, man.
I want y'all to go on Twitter and talk to me. I like friends. I'm a very friendly guy. If you come on, I'll chat with you.
You can tell who's on the Twitter page by the way that the day's going.
if it's me or you running it.
Yeah, if I'm harassing dickweeds online, you can tell it's me. If it's just somebody humanizing Star Trek characters, that's Graham.
If it's somebody who takes the time to make like cohesive arguments about why cops suck, it's me. And if they're just shitting on them openly, that's Alex.
Yeah. There it is. That's the delineation right there, dude.
Yeah.
If it's ad hominem, it's me. If it's thoughtful, it's Graham.
Wait, actually, relevant. Alex, I don't know if you noticed this. You got us temporarily banned from Twitter.
I did. It's true. I was hoping you wouldn't notice, but I did.
I did notice. I appealed, but they rejected it.
I got banned for 5 hours. So I learned a lesson this week. not to use Twitter as a soapbox.
Let's have Darth Vader. The reason he's got that whole suit and everything is he's actually part of a DARE program. A DARE type program. And that's just like his costume. Just completely nerf him like they did with Captain America and whatever his like origin one was, where it's just like, I'm Captain America. What do? I go to OSS shows and dance on stage.
Dude, if Darth Vader was propaganda for like you could fight forever, what a fascist idea of like, look at this man encased in a life support system. He's still fighting for the cause. That's Verhoeven right there. Is
oh
like
my God.
The core made me the man I am today, and he has like one functional limb.
Oh yeah,
Vader's just like the pinnacle of the surgical prowess of the Empire.
Stick-to-itiveness of the Empire.
Yeah, the Empire. That's another T-shirt right there. Galactic Empire. Stick-to-itiveness.
Do you have it? Imperial stick-to-itiveness?
Yeah, it's like one of those corporate meetings that they used to do in the 90s, and it's like the t-shirt from it. It's like a Galactic Empire Stick-to-itiveness Con 1994.
Awesome. I'm writing all these ideas down.
I love
shirts
it,
and merch and stuff. I'm excited. I kept not knowing what to do. I was like, I should make another sticker, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck to make of it, so I hadn't. But now I got OG Swashbuckler and Imperial Stick-to-itiveness. Those are fun.
Those are all great.
Fun things. Those are fun things. All right.
Do you want to do plugs or?
Yeah, let's do plugs. Okay. Alex, what do you got going on?
I love my band, The Way the World Ends, 210. That's 210, like San Antonio, Tejas, San Quimas. Graham, what are you up to?
Well, as usual, all I've got going on is this podcast, The Rewriters Room.
I love this show.
If you haven't already, you should go listen to our various season finales. I'm going to make this more inclusive for when we have more of them, our season finales. As of this recording, we have season ones, which kind of sucks, but season two, which is a very fun radio drama that we're going to do again at the end of this season.
Hell yeah,
so
man.
So get hyped. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Rewrite Pod. You should come around, hang out, have a chat. You know what? I guess I'll plug my Twitter. My Twitter is absurdist with an O.
Hell yeah.
If that makes any sense, you can find it.
Absurdist.
You can leave us some comments and reviews. One stars, very aggressive reviews, right? Alex, what should they do? What are some soft spots that me and you have that they could exploit to hurt us in the comments?
Well, I mean, you could always insult my weight or my hairline. That would make me feel really terrible.
You know what, Alex?
Go ahead.
I was going to say the same one.
I mean, I'm a fucking podcaster, so take your pick,
yeah,
dude.
So go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us some comments about how our hairline is dumb and our stomachs look stupid. We should wear shirts when we go swimming.
Yeah, every once in a while I wake up and my back hurts because I'm old. So yeah, like, yeah, make fun yeah, of me for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sometimes I fall asleep on my arm and the whole day is ruined.
Yep.
But yeah, you could send us an email at rewrite.podcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, but we don't check it that often, so don't get too excited about an immediate reply. But if you come on our Twitter, we will fucking respond immediately.
It's true.
Because me and Alex are perpetually on our phones. Mostly me.
Constantly looking for praise or hate.
Yeah, anything at all. I'm been a bad boy, I've been a good boy, whichever, pick your poison. What else is there? The thing, you can download our episodes wherever you downloaded this one. You can find us anywhere except like one place, I think, because I went to submit our request and it was a little complicated. And I said, I don't really care. Those people just won't be able to listen. So if you're those people, you're not listening.
Also, you know, well, hold on before you say bye. All right, bye.
No. Say what you're going
to
say.
No. Well, let's leave it at that. It's a cliffhanger.
All right, bye.
Folks, I'm going down to St. James Infirmary. See my baby there, she's dressed out all along my table. She's so sweet, so calm, so fair. Let her go, oh bless her. Wherever she may be, she will search this wide world over, but she'll never find another sweet man like me. Now when I die, bear me in my straight leg breeches, put on a box back coat and a studs in a hat, put a $20 gold piece on my watch chain so you can let all the boys know I died standing pat. Then give me 6 rap shooting pallbearers. Let a chorus girl sing me a song. Put a red hot jazz band in the top man so we can raise hallelujah as we go along. Folks, now that you have heard my story, say boy, hand me over another shot of that booze. If anyone should ask you, tell them I got those St. James Infirmary.